Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to introduce you to a few people, and you might know one of them or a couple of them or all of them. But I ask that they'd come and tell their story or part of their story. There's a fellow who's been around this church for some time. And you would know him now as a deacon. And see, deacons were once sinners too. Randy, I'd like you to come. Can you tell us a little bit about where you were, the process, what the Lord's done, where you're at? And I want you to know this. This is a really good guy. But he's like his pastor in the sense that not just the same first name, but we're not perfect yet, but God's brought us a ways. And so I want you to listen to, well, we should probably welcome you, Randy Uschold.
Are we on? Oh, yes, it sounds good. Most of you probably didn't know me in the late 60s, in the early 70s. And for that, I think you need to be very thankful. During that time, I was a full-fledged alcoholic. I lived to drink, and I believed that I needed to drink to live. I had a decent job, but I would have to get up early in the morning, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I'd start drinking then, and I'd work crossword puzzles so I could get my hand-eye coordination at least to the point where I'd be able to function during the day. I eventually gave up a really good job because people were starting to notice that there was something wrong with me. And some of them were starting to point it out to me. And I thought, okay, it's only going to be a matter of time until this gets to the right people and I'm going to get fired. And I didn't want that humiliation. That's kind of a dichotomy, isn't it? Because here I am humiliating myself day in and day out. And yet I didn't want to be, in my estimation, publicly humiliated. I would stop at a bar, get a drink, and I would be shaking so badly that I couldn't pick the glass up. If there were people around, I'd walk out of that bar and leave that drink as badly as I wanted it. I'd walk out and leave it there on the bar because I didn't want them to see me shaking like that and spilling most of what I was trying to drink. I'm not real proud of what I was. I don't want you to think that in any way that I'm bragging about what I used to be. But I do praise God that He delivered me from that. And it wasn't an easy thing. It was back in 1972. I had a friend who one day asked me, he said, "Is drinking causing you a problem?" And my reaction was, "Of course it's not. You know, I can stop anytime I want to. I just choose to be this way." "Oh, you're right. Uh-huh." And there was a small voice inside of me that prompted me to say yes. And I have no idea why I said yes. I mean, I didn't want to say yes, but something told me I needed to. So I did, and he introduced me to AA. I told my wife that because of the way I drank, I had no doubt that I was going to have to go into some sort of a detox center, get dried out, that we'd be apart for a while. And it didn't happen that way. I'm one of those, Pastor, that while I wasn't delivered immediately, it wasn't near the difficult task that I thought it was going to be to quit drinking. God had His hand on me. I didn't know Him. I'd grown up in a mainline denomination, and I don't want to make it sound like mainline denominations are a bad thing. There's a lot of saved people in mainline denominations. Unfortunately, I wasn't one of them. I knew who God was. I didn't know him. And I couldn't believe that the way I was, that he loved me enough to do anything for me. I know I sure wouldn't have done anything for me. But he brought me along. And in 1978, I believe it was, a friend of my wife's, and bless her heart, that she's a woman that God put in my life. I can't think of another young lady that I ever associated with, that I ever dated, who would have stuck with me like my wife did, even through the bad times. So the Lord knew that I was going to need help, and I was going to need a soulmate, a wife who would stand by me, and he gave me that person, even though I didn't realize it at the time. But anyway, she had a friend who talked her into coming to the Assembly Church. And she went for 2 or 3 weeks, and she talked to me about it a little bit, and she tried to get me to come. And I said, no way. Those people are crazy. I'm not going anywhere near that church. I'm real happy just where I am. But the Lord worked on me. The Holy Spirit was at work in my heart. And even though I didn't know it at the time, he was telling me that I needed a life change besides just quitting drinking. I was still thinking the same way. I still had no relationship with him. And the time came when I told my wife, okay, I guess I can do this. I'll go with you on a Sunday. And I wasn't saved immediately. I came to this church for probably 10 to 11 months. In October of 1979, during an altar call, the Lord said, it's time. And I came forward and surrendered my life to him. It made a big difference. It made a huge difference in my life. But everything else didn't automatically become real easy. I still struggled with poor thinking habits. I smoked. I smoked a lot. And I wanted to quit. And I thought, Lord, you delivered me so easily from drinking. Why don't you deliver me from smoking? That habit hung on for nearly 10 more years before I was finally able to give up cigarettes. So I don't want you to think that, you know, the answer is always going to be quick, like Pastor said this morning. Sometimes we have to struggle through it. But the Lord will give us the strength and the perseverance, and I just praise him that he never gave up on me. And as Pastor said, we're not perfect yet. We won't be perfect until the day we're raptured. But I just thank God. I thank God that he got a hold of my life, that he brought me into a place like this where I can feel free to worship him, where I can learn about him, and where I know that I can change. And if what I went through, I just assumed I wouldn't have had to go through all this, but if what I went through can help anybody else, then I'd be more than happy to talk about it anytime. Thank you.
I want to introduce you to somebody else who has become a part of this church because they moved. They were transplanted here. And I've known them because they were a couple who were in a previous church where I pastored and were friends of mine there. And many of you would know them already, J.W. and Marlene. And I'm going to have J.W. come. You get confused. His real name is Jalmer Wilho Jarvi. He's Finnish. But he goes by J.W. So I want you to welcome J.W.
Well, as Pastor Randy said, we don't have a lot of history here. Been down here about a year and a half, I guess. So most of you probably thought that I'm pretty perfect. Might as well kiss that idea goodbye. God is good. God is good. You know, and I think he's in the business of rescuing people. He's in the business of breaking bondages. And, you know, the biggest thing is that he's for us. He's not against us. Pastor Randy says so many times in the service, God is for you. He's not against you. You know, and I think the enemy comes to try and tell you that, you know, you've done something that's too bad. It's too big. And now God's against you. He's not against you. He's for you. But I just wanted to read one thing real quickly here. In Romans chapter 11, verse 32, it says, "For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all." And one thing I'm very grateful for is God's mercy. I was like Randy. I drank a lot. And I really practiced it, in fact. You know, I was pretty creative at it. And it was really the thing that probably enabled me to function in life. When life got too stressful, I drank. In fact, if I was sad, I drank. When I got happy, I drank. I mean, it was just there. That's what I did. And the problem is that the solution I had began to cause problems. And actually, I suppose, when I think about it, it probably caused problems right from the beginning. I know the first time that I ever really drank on purpose to get drunk, I was about 12 years old, and I was with about three other guys, and we had robbed or stolen some liquor from a couple of parents and divided that up and drank that, and away we went. And the best way I can explain it is that, you know what, when I drank that down, it was like Clark Kent turning into Superman. You know, that's the way it felt. A little while later that summer, I was out of my grandparents, and I went downstairs, and I found a bunch of dandelion wine. There was about four bottles of the dandelion wine. Well, I got a glass, and I poured a little bit out of each one and drank that down, and that same thing happened. Man, it was like, that feeling of ease and comfort came. In fact, I felt so good, I went out and had a cigarette in the barn and started the barn on fire. You know. So you might say that there was some evidence that probably was not a good thing to do. But I persevered. I continued to drink. And as I went along in life, it began to cause more and more problems. Marlene and I got married, and it was causing difficulties within our home. And found myself, in fact, in trouble with the law. I haven't been in jail many times, but been there once or twice at least. And I can remember getting to the place where I'd wake up in the morning. Sometimes I'd look in the mirror and I'd look at myself after a night of drinking and being hungover and acting like a jerk. Looking in the mirror and saying, "What in the world is wrong with you? What in the world is wrong with you?" And disliking myself. You know, and in Romans, you go back to chapter 7, and Paul talks about something, and I'll paraphrase it. Basically, he says, you know what? He says, "I know what's right, and I know what's wrong. I want to do what's right, and I end up doing what's wrong." And really, at the end of that chapter, he talks about, "Oh, wretched man am I. Who's going to free me from that?" He says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ." And you know what he's talking about there is powerlessness. Powerlessness. And that's where I found myself, lacking power to do what was right. I don't know how many times I promised Marlene, across my heart, and hope to die, I promise I will not drink again. And I'd be drunk before the end of the day, maybe. And I was very much a functioning alcoholic. I mean, I'd drink and I'd go to work, and I'd drink and I'd go to work, and sober up and I'd go to work. But anyway, life got to be tough. It got to be difficult. And I came home, and I wish I had, I could amend my story, but there's only one way it happened, so I guess I got to tell it. But I remember I came home one time and acted like a jerk and probably tipped some furniture over or whatever. And my wife says, why don't you do something about your problem? Why don't you call somebody from Alcoholics Anonymous or something? So I said, fine. I'm 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm still buzzed up. I says, okay, fine. So I get on the phone and I call. And I said, you know, I'm thinking nobody's going to answer anyway. So somebody answers on the end of the phone. And I'm going, oh, great. And I chatted for a little bit, and he says, well, maybe you should go to a meeting. I says, well, okay, I'm in a doghouse anyway. I got to do something. And he says, fine, I'll be by Monday. Meeting's at 8 o'clock. And the hangover had gone, worn off, and well, I was feeling pretty good, and I was watching TV, and meeting's at 8 o'clock, and it's about 10:02, and nobody showed up yet, and I'm starting to feel pretty relaxed. I said, oh, this is good. They forgot, you know. Wouldn't you know it, knock, knock, knock. Not one, two guys, you know, and away I go. And it was a long story even between there. I went to the first AA meeting. It was 5 years before I sobered up. And one thing I did not want to accept is a spiritual approach to recovery. I did not want my drinking friends and people I hung around with to find out that I was relying on some kind of God. But anyway, as it went along, I finally went there. In fact, what I had done is I'd gone to a Ronnie Millsap concert in Hibbing, and I went there terribly hungover. And was hurting bad. And I had a tremendous spiritual revelation. I was sitting there and I'm thinking I'm going to have a heart attack because I'm having DTs and whatnot. And it was this. It's time for a change of priorities. You know, and some people say, well, that's not much of a hot flash. But I'll tell you what. I haven't drank since that time. And see, the thing is, I knew what I had to do. I had to go back to that AA meeting where I thought all the losers were hanging out. I knew that I had to accept a spiritual approach, and so I did. And God placed in front of me an order to follow, and I followed that order. And it was through the witness and testimony of believers, Christians in AA, that I came to Christ. And I came to Christ in the privacy of my own bedroom. I made a public confession a year or so later at a Lundstrom crusade. And through that, I got connected with the Assembly of God Church in Hibbing. You know, and I did spend one miserable year. I kind of went to church, didn't go to church, wasn't involved in anything. I was going to AA meetings. But if there's one thing that makes a person miserable is being a Christian and not going anywhere where you can talk about Jesus and you can read his word. I was miserable. And then I got involved in a home Bible study group, started going to a Bible study at the church, finally ended up going to church on a regular basis. And it's been a process. You know, would I like to have this tremendous faith? Yeah, but you know what? That's not the way it happened. You know, and there are things I still struggle with. One of the things that a church does sometimes, and it's unfortunate, we all come here with our best attitude on, smiles on our face, and what I do sometimes is I will compare my insides with everybody else's outsides. I know what's going on in here. I look at everybody else, and you guys got it all together, I'll tell you that. It looked pretty perfect to me. Well, we all have insides, you know. And so I guess if there's anything I can say in way of encouragement to break bondages is that it takes more, I think, than just coming to a church and sitting in a pew on a Sunday once a week. It takes getting involved in some kind of a group where you can talk about things, you can process through stuff. At least that's what it takes for me. And I always feel better. And you know what? You get a chance to be able to give. And if there's one thing that makes me feel better, is when I get out of self, and the best way to get out of self is to do something for somebody else. You know? But God is faithful. God is faithful. So, I guess I'll turn this back to Randy, and away we go.
I want another fellow to come up here and share with you before we celebrate communion together. And he's newer to the church. It's been fun to watch him grow and walk with the Lord in recent days. And I want you to hear a little bit about his story of God's goodness. Gino, why don't you come on up here?
Hello, everybody. Believe it or not, I'm a little nervous up here, and any of you that do know me know that I'm never nervous when I'm talking. But I'd like to tell you a little bit about me. I don't come from a Christian family or a family that went to church. My parents got divorced when I was real young, first grade, actually, and I knew that was kind of different because when I went to school, everybody had dads there, and I didn't, so that was always a challenge for me. And I remember my dad, when he left, said, you know, now you got to be the man of the house. And I guess at a young age, I took that kind of very responsible. I remember my first experience going to church. Not too proud, sorry, Father. Went to church, and after my father left, we were poor. And we drove to church, and we had a beat-up car my mother had. Someone given him, it's painted all over, and just atrocious, and the kids making fun of it. And me laying a whooping on a young kid out in front of the church. And I remember the pastor coming out and making me feel pretty miserable about my behavior. And we never went back. You know, I didn't go to Sunday school after that anymore. And then and that's sort of the way it went. I didn't go. I had an aunt who had been saved. She was a Catholic, a lovely woman. I know today now, thanks to the Lord, that this lady prayed for my salvation on a daily basis, and I wish I could tell her now. I can't. As you can see now, I've given my life to the Lord, and I couldn't be happier. I've got several failed marriages in my past, which I'm not too happy about, but like some of the other gentlemen who are up here, I remember having a drinking problem when I was younger, but being one of those guys, which I would call myself a control freak, I managed to get control over my drinking all on my own. I didn't go to the Lord for it. I did it on my own. I'm Gino. I don't need nobody. I can do it all on my own. And I did. I had a smoking cigarette problem issue. I need the Lord. I did it. I gave up cigarettes. I'm the man. I run my life. And I quit. I had another monkey on my back. I had a drug problem. Couldn't shake it. I remember after my, you know, being single, living on my own, trying every year, trying something new. I'm going to quit. I'll try this approach. I'll try that approach. Couldn't shake it. Couldn't get that one particular monkey off my back. And it bummed me out. And I remember people telling me, why even bother? You're just going to start again anyways, Gino. People tell you that enough times, you start to believe it. And it must have been 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And I remember I liked to go to the gym. And I remember lifting weights. And my guts fell out. They call that a hernia. Not attractive. So I got to go in, they put my guts back in me, you know, and real cool, very painful. For all you women that give childbirth, my hat is off to you because, wow, just wow. And so I had some free time on my hands, and so I started doing what I always do. I changed some habits in my life. I'd gotten rid of television, everything I could to try to get this drug habit off my back. So I went back to all my audio tapes. I like to watch and listen to and read books on self-help and motivational stuff. Zig Ziglar, Les Brown, Jim Rohn, some of you folks might, Tony Robbins. And he'd helped me make a lot of changes in my life. But something was still missing in my life, and I knew it. You know, I couldn't find that happiness, that goal, that empty spot, which now I realize is, as I've been told, was a God-shaped hole in my heart. But I didn't go that approach. You know, hey, I know God, you rock, you know, and thanks for the sunny day, but that's about as far as it went with me. So I got going through all my books. What's the missing thing in my life? What am I not doing? And every book and every tape, one common denominator started showing up to me all of a sudden that I always missed. You need to have a belief and a faith. And they always said, in your higher power, not to step on anybody's toes. They'd explain it in a book. And it's like, you got to have that belief. You got to have that faith, or you're never going to find that total success you're looking for. And by success, I didn't mean wealth or power, but that happiness, that all these guys that I read their books and listened to their tapes, they were just happy. And it was never about the money in these guys' lives. I wanted that. So I remember, you know, being that control freak. I can do it all on my own. I remember the first time actually humbling myself. All right. And it wasn't, and I didn't ask him to prove himself. I just gave in. Said, all right, God, I can't do it. I can't stop this drug habit. I just can't do it. Would you please help me? For me, it was a gift. It was like he was waiting for me. You bet. And it was gone. Just like that. Praise him for that. Hallelujah. It was gone. God's like a great vacuum sealer. You open the door, boom, he's got his foot in there. He didn't stop. And I kept asking him, okay, is this what you want? Send me a sign. Send me a sign showing me that this is what you'll want me to do. I remember going to the bank one day. There were some fellas and got time to talk. And I thought, no, I don't got time to talk. What could give you a card? Hands me a card, and there's a picture of Jesus on the card. And I remember turning around and saying, hey, thank you, guys. God bless you. And they're like, turn around. Smiles that would shine up the whole town. And thank you, sir, and God bless you, and you have a great day. And I was like, wow, got to get me some of that. So I'm in, you know, I'm thinking, wow, all right, is this a sign, God? I like to watch movies, and I remember watching the movie Bruce Almighty, you know, and asking for a sign. Truck of signs goes by, and he doesn't see it. And I'm thinking, okay, that could be me. Could you send me a sign to show me this is a sign, huh? God don't quit on us. He never does. Whether we believe he does or not, he doesn't. Ask and you shall receive. He sent me another sign. That was it. I'm going to start going to church. I asked a lady that if I could start going to church for her, and she said, yes, I've been praying for you every day that you would come to church with me. Wow. You freaking me out, God. He did. So I started attending church with her, and it was good. It was nice to be there, and I volunteered my services right away, and it was a great church, and that let me go. And one Sunday, I missed church. Daylight savings time. It was about 3 years ago on this day. Churches set their clocks back. Gino doesn't, so I got up and out. I was late for church. Church had started, and I felt bad. Gosh, I'm missing church. Well, I knew some friends that happened to attend this church that had mentioned Christ to me before, and I was like, you know, be backing off of me with your, you know, talk, or I just don't push me into it. So I learned from my friends that you can't push that. It's, you know, you just got to lay it out there. You plant, you toss the seeds out, God makes them grow. They had tossed the seeds out to me, and it started to grow. So I called them up. Can I come to church with you guys? And they said, yeah, sure, it starts in a little while, but, you know, they're not what you've been used to going to. And I thought, yeah, whatever. I need to go to church. I need to be there now. I know that's where I need to be. He told me. And I was hungry, and I needed it. So I attended church here that day. And it was great. I had a great time. Praise and worship. I didn't have to read the book. Music was up there big so I could see it. Lots of people singing, so I didn't have to listen to myself sing. It was great. Pastor Andy made an altar call. And I had been praying to the Lord for a relationship. You know, I wanted somebody in my life. And he made the altar call, and I felt him tugging me forward. And I'm like, I'm not ready to go forward. This is just not for me. I'm not going. And I remember hearing him and telling him, I know what you want. It was like, dunk, you want a relationship? I'm right here, Gino. And I remember it was so vivid. And I remember being overwhelmed with emotion. And when I looked down, there was Pastor Randy standing in front of me. Well, hey, I'm really glad to have you here. And it was like, wow, you know, if you won't go to the mountain, he'll bring the mountain to you. I've been here ever since. And I would never miss. But it's not like my life got great. I struggle with things, and I still struggle with things. Relationships. Those of you that do know me know that I recently got married. Praise the Lord for sending me a wonderful wife. And any of you that have been here know that that wasn't just, you know, hey, the Lord sends me Lisa or sends us together and everything worked great. We struggled. I struggled with it. And I, you know, even to this day, we have issues I struggle with. Simple things like giving up that control. I want to run the show. Whenever I get to that spot, God's like, fine, run the show. Then I stumble and I fall down. Then I get up and I dust myself off and, all right, God, please help me. And he's like, that's all I want you to do is ask me. And he helps me again. He doesn't always give me a yes answer. But as long as I'm patient and I wait, I realize why I got a no answer. Oh. Thanks for the no answer. No problem, Gino. He is so cool. He has been there for me. And I still stumble. And I do. I fall down. I have no issues with drinking or smoking or drugs anymore. Those are all gone. Opening up. Telling people how I feel. People will come. Hey, Gino, they see it. They love me just as much as I love all you people here. Just as much as God loves us. They'll see it in my eyes. How you doing, Gino? Look at him and I lie. And I apologize to all of you when I lie. Hey, I'm great. Everything's all good. And they know it. And I'm sorry. And I struggle with that. And I'm getting better now when people ask me. It's not like dumping on them. And I realize that's not what they want. They just want to know. So I apologize to the Lord. And I'm faithful and I pray. And he's there for me. Talk to these people, Gino. You know, I struggle with my thinking patterns sometimes. And I have to pray to God all the time. Please, Lord, help me change my thinking patterns. But then I have to stop and think, wow. My thinking patterns have changed. I'm one of these, I want it now. You know, fix me. I don't want to do drugs anymore. Fine, you're fixed. You're not doing drugs anymore, Gino. I don't want to think the way I'm thinking anymore, Lord. Be patient, it's coming. But I want it now. Lord, give me patience. Be patient, it's coming. And he's always sending someone with me. When I made these changes in my life, I don't do drugs anymore. I don't drink anymore. I don't go to the bars, none of that. All that from my past. People left my life. You worry about people leaving your life. You come to the Lord, people come into your life. There's never an empty spot anymore. There's always someone there. Every time I've asked him, send me a revelation so I can understand something, Lord. It takes a little while, but all of a sudden someone will show up in my life and answer that question for me. Wow, I've been praying about that. A few weekends ago, some of you folks were here. I kind of let out a little bit of emotional yahoo because I was really happy. I remember that morning vividly praying, dear Lord, remove the chains that bind me. I feel you tugging at me saying, you know, woo, God rocks. And I don't ever say it because, you know, you worry, what are people going to say? What are people going to think? And I asked him, just take that off of me, would you please? I don't want that. Careful what you ask for. Sometimes he gives it to you right away. Sometimes he makes you wait. No, it's right. No chains. Woo! He sent me people into my life. I remember coming to church thinking, wow, everybody's known God. Everybody's been a Christian their whole lives, you know. And so many folks have. They've been fortunate and blessed, you know, that they grew up in a church family, you know, and they know Christ. But I've met so many wonderful people here that have been saved recently. That made me feel comfortable. And I want you guys to know that they're out here. Folks that have just, within the last few years, God saved them. I'm 46. I was in my 40s before I got saved, thinking, wow, I'm ashamed of myself. It took me 40 years before I let my guard down and let God save my life, you know. And he did. He saved my life. I was, you know, thinking, hey, I got it going on. But whenever I was quiet and I was alone by myself, just me in the mirror, I wasn't happy. I knew something was gone. So it's good to know. You can go out and talk to people. You don't have to be a youngin'. You guys that are young and got, you know, I'm envious. Wow. But he's there now. It doesn't matter when you get Lord in your life. You're new, born again. I'm a kid, 46 years old, and I'm a child with Christ, and he makes me happy, and I just want to share it with everybody. So if you think, you know, you're bumming out because you're struggling, I'll tell you what, man. When I got dirt on my knees, first thing I do while I'm down here is I'm down here. I might as well pray for a little bit while I'm on my knees. Lord, pick me up. If I'm going to fall down, let me fall on my back so I can see the direction I need to go. And he's there for me. So don't ever think that, you know, everybody's, wow, all that. You said it. You see the smile on everybody's face. Wow, everybody's got it going on so much. I need to bump it up a notch. I tend to be hard on myself. You know, I did this, I did that. I'm not good enough. I'm not getting it. And people have told me, chill out. You are making it. You got to crawl before you can walk. You got to walk before you can run. I'm looking forward to running and jumping and screaming, you know. But in the meantime, I'm going to be patient, which is really a challenge for me. The Lord knows it. But I'm going to be patient. And I want to say, God bless all of you that have been here. Those of you who have taught me that you can come to the Lord anytime. That there are things in your life that you're not happy about. We're all the same. We're all God's children. He loves us. And he's going to make us into something great and beautiful. And I want to see it happen to everybody else. And I want everybody to be here to see it happen to me. Thank you for letting me ramble on. And thank you, Lord.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.